are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. And I want to talk to you this morning for a couple of moments that we have together on a new thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like new things. I like opening presents. Even if I got a golf club before and I get a new golf club, I am happy. I like new things. I like the smell of a new car, the leather, the interior. I like a new house. I like a new baby. Have you smelled our babies smell? They just smell new. Amen. And that's the fragrance we all should carry. We don't carry the fragrance of yesterday. We don't walk around like sad sack. Okay, only two people remember sad sack. Amen. The young people don't know what I'm talking about, but that's fine. You're a whole nother generation. Sighing sad sack. We're going to live victoriously with an upbeat attitude and believe God that the best is yet to come. So 2016 is the beginning of the prophetic word that God gave us, that everything will double in the next 5 years. And we've set ourselves some goals in the next 7 years as a church movement. We are going to reach 7 million souls for Jesus Christ. Say a good amen. Somebody, we're going to plant 200 churches and we're going to grow our church here in South Africa to over 200,000 members. Say a good amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about a new thing. It doesn't mean that yesterday was a bad thing, but God can turn an old thing into a new thing, a current thing into a new thing, a blessed marriage into a better marriage. So when we talk about a new thing, we're not saying that the old thing was a bad thing, but we are saying that you can't camp at the old thing. You have to move on into what God has for you. Amen. So when we talk about getting rid of the old thing today, we're not talking about getting rid of your wife, because she's not an old thing. She's a good thing. Isaiah 43 verse 18, the Bible says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody say new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, here in the Free State. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackal and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. I'm here to tell you today that God will have the final say in your life. No matter how bad things are, they will get better. No matter how low you are, you will go higher. No matter how impossible things seem, things will turn around, because we serve a God of the turnaround. I believe 2016 will be a significant year for many people of new beginnings. And new beginnings mean a new thing. I believe God is going to take you from glory to glory. So prepare yourself for new horizons, for new and great adventures. You're not going to sit in the safety of the boat in 2016. You're going to live with a forward mindset. You're going to get up and go. You're going to bury the mistakes of yesterday, and you are going to claim new territory for God. Come on, say amen. So there will be new challenges. New challenges will bring new opportunities. And there will be new territory to take. This year, I believe, God spoke to us as a movement that God enlarges our territory. Next year, significantly, we're entering in a new phase, a season, and I declare it, of possessing new lands and new territories in Jesus' name. Can you say a good amen? So how do we prepare for a new thing? Number one, you have to let go of the old thing. Amen. First thing the prophet says is remember not the former things. To not remember means to forget. If you want to possess your tomorrow, there are certain things you have to forget. You have to forget sometimes even the good. You have to forget the bad. And you have to forget the ugly. You cannot drive forward looking out the rearview mirror. You have to let go of yesterday. You have to get up from yesterday. You have to forget yesterday. As God said, your sins and your iniquities I will no longer remember. It's amazing how many people struggle to forget. The only way to embrace your future is, number one, you have to forget. That means you intentionally have to let go of yesterday. And I'm going to say it again. even the good things of yesterday. You bump into some people and all they can talk about are the good old days. Amazingly, I still talk to some members in this church, which I love dearly, and they will take me back to 21 years ago when we were 200 people, and they will tell me, Pastor, remember the good old days? Well, they were good old days, but these days are better. Or you talk to young people today that want to be used by God, and all they can do is read books about yesterday. And they talk about Charles Finney and Smith Wigglesworth and gone-by revivals of a gone-by era. And they think those days were better. And you watch those young people get stuck with their heads in a cloud because they don't live in the here and the now. God is restoring His church. God is building His church. God is on the move. Today is better than yesterday, from glory to glory. Or some people say, oh, I wish I lived in the days of Elijah. And they go study the miracles of Elijah, who did 7 miracles. But Jesus said, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than Elijah. So you have a greater now, a greater opportunity, and a greater future. Come on, say a good amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So yes, yesterday's methods will not get you into tomorrow's promises. God simply said to Joshua, Moses is dead, now arise. There are certain things you have to bury, certain things you have to let go of, certain relationships you have to distance yourself from, certain things you have to cut out of your life and leave them where they belong, in the past. You have to live with a get up and go forward mindset. I'm moving forward. Cannot change the past. I learn from the past, but I can build tomorrow. Somebody say a new thing. Come on, say it. Say a new beginning. That doesn't mean you leave the church where God planted you. That doesn't mean you leave the job where God planted you. It means God's going to bless you where you are, and God's going to do a new thing where you are. God's going to bless you with the marriage that you have. God's going to bless you with the company that you have. Say amen in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or having arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. The past, if you don't forget it, has power over your present and your future. That's what the Apostle Paul says. There's one thing I do, I forget what is behind. Now, Paul was a murderer. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. So obviously, he could have had battles in his mind, but Paul the Apostle, after he understands, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. He makes this statement and he says, I have wronged no man. I mean, what are you talking about, Paul? He says, I have no past. Every day is a new beginning. In Christ, I'm a new creature. In Christ, I am righteous. In Christ, I have a future. Come on. In Christ, I am alive. I have new ability, liberty, identity, vitality, equality. In Christ, I can do all things. Come on. Hallelujah. In Christ, I am alive. He says, there's one thing I do. I forget what is behind. And sometimes we have to forget the good, because the good is so good that it keeps you stuck in a rut. The only difference between a groove and a grave, which is a rut, is a groove is a grave with the ends kicked out. It goes nowhere. You know, we sang a song in Great College, we shall not be moved. That was in the context of playing sport against other teams. We'll not be moved, we'll stand our ground. But many people live with that attitude, we shall not be moved. They look the same as they did 10 years ago. They comb their hair the same. Amen. I don't have an option. Hallelujah. They wear the same clothes. They walk the same way. They talk the same way. I love change. I love transformation. I love to see change in people. I love to see people grow. I love to see people develop. I love to see people become everything God calls them to be. Oh, come on, in Jesus' name. Because God is calling you to be transformed from glory to glory. So you don't want to get stuck in yesterday. You don't want to live as a victim of apartheid 20 years from now, and you were not even born in an unjust political system. You don't want to live as a victim. You are a victor in Christ. Learn from yesterday so we don't repeat the mistakes. But get up from yesterday and become everything God knows you can be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say amen. So Paul says, there's one thing I do. I forget what is behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. So there are things behind us. Good things, not so good things. Average things, things we are proud of, things we are not proud of. He says, what things are behind me, I forget them. Because some people that have success, then they gloat in their success. They camp. God's not a happy camper. God is a happy God, but God is not a camper. God is on the move. So God's never going to come to us at CRC and say, well, that's the last building you're building right now. Like somebody said to me one day, said to me, Pastor, why are we always building? Why are we always building another? Because it's an ever-increasing kingdom. We have to always think forward. We always have to look for new territory. There's always going to be another orphanage to build. There's always going to be another missionary to send. There's always going to be another offering to give. Because we are a church with a forward mindset. Say amen in Jesus' name. So there's one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I reach forward. I press on. People become average when they no longer press on. And sure, we should celebrate moments in life, but it should just be a moment. If you win the prize, celebrate the night and move on. But don't sit there for the rest of the year and say, my soul, take your ease, rest, sleep. Because you've done well, you've built a great business, but you're 55 and God knows you can still build 3 great businesses, but now you're overwhelmed by your successes of yesterday. Paul the Apostle even says, the accolades, the things that were gained to me, I count as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Because God put in us an enterprising spirit. Nothing about God is stagnant, stale. Nothing about God is placid. You do not serve a placid God. You do not serve a God who is not a visionary. As a matter of fact, God in the beginning spoke and the galaxies are still being created because God spoke into eternity. Hallelujah. Come on. As long as we live, we should be forward-minded. We should expand to the left and the right and believe God for more territory and reach more people for God and dream bigger for God and press on into the future that God has for us. Oh, come on, somebody shout amen and give the Lord a praise in the house. Hallelujah. So number one, you have to forget. He says, remember not the things of old. Neither consider. 2 things. Consider means meditate on yesterday, the good old days, by the rivers of Babylon, like Israel did. They always spoke about the good old days. The pots in Egypt. It's amazing how people get saved and God's got vision. And when people don't walk with God, how they gravitate back to who they were. They become insecure again, go celebrate what they cannot do, live as victims again, and God moves beyond them. We cannot consider our past, our upbringing, our culture, because all those things will limit you from your potential in Christ. We consider Jesus. We look unto Jesus, because all truth, the Bible says, is in Jesus, because He will take you where nobody else can take you. Come on, say a good amen. So God will not leave you where you are. I mean, people leave churches like this because they don't like the advancement mentality. And we'll say things like this, well, Pastor, can't you just be happy? Happy with what? There's a world going to hell. Open your eyes and see what's happening. See that this earth is an urgent hour. We cannot sit and gloat and have goosebumps and prophesy to one another. My light, your light, bless me, bless you. We have 30% unemployment in this nation. We have challenges facing this country, South Africa, that if the church do not become proactive, we may have a Tunisia in this country of South Africa. So we need businessmen to be enterprising. We need wealth distribution in our nation. We need farmers to empower other people to get a vision beyond yourself in Jesus' name. Say amen. I mean, for some people, their lives are just about paying their bills. Jesus didn't die just for you to pay your bills. He died for the world. That's why He needs a church with vision. He needs a prosperous church, because poor people can't even pay their own bills. Like somebody said, I don't believe in prosperity. Well, do you believe in poverty? Huh? It's one or the other. God's a God of prosperity because of the poor. Is God a capitalist? Is God a socialist? Is God a communist? He can't be, because communism says there's no God. So God can't say there's no God. He says the fool says in his heart there's no God. The fool. You may have a big mouth, but you're a fool. God says so. So any businessman, any person with vision, not tied to kingdom purpose, which is the upliftment of humanity, becomes self-centered materialism. And all it is about is me, my vision, my house, my children, my car, while people are dying on your doorstep. And we are going to attack this disease head on next year, so that the businessmen who love God will rise up and fulfill their social responsibility in this nation, so that this can be the nation of God. Oh, come on. I feel the anointing of God. Somebody shout amen in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because naked you came into this world, naked you will leave this world. And every poor child that you drove past, every offering you did not give, every person you look the other way to must stop. So when we talk about pressing on, it is pressing on into the higher dimension of God, pressing on to your measure of success, so that you can alleviate the pain and the suffering in this world. I press on. A new future, so you can do things for people. Blessed to be a blessing. Jabez, expand your territory so you can bless the people who work for you. Not give them half bonuses. Not pay unfair wages. Not getting many amens now. Because I believe as a church and the church of God, we should stop playing charismatic games. We take responsibility to reform a nation. Which means we have to alleviate the suffering. We have to alleviate the poverty. We have to address the uneducated people in our country. We have to stand up on a whole nother level for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Because we are the hope of the world. And the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, which is the church of Jesus Christ. Men and women of God that accept their responsibility. My brother is in heaven this morning. He was a great man while he lived, but he ran his race. He cannot give into another offering. He cannot help another person. His race is finished. You still have your race to run. And you play church. You get offended. Because somebody lied to you. Your parents, when they raised you up, they taught you the whole world stands still for you. And they ran at your beck and call, ran to every rugby match, did everything for you. Now there's a preacher that has the audacity to say, it's not all about you. Raise great children, but raise them with social responsibility. Raise them with a heart for lost and lonely and poor people. There's enough spoiled brats in this world. So Isaiah says, do not consider the things of old. You're going to be a new person with a new attitude. You're going to do great things for God. I prophesied over this church that God will raise up people that will shake this nation, that will shake parliament, people that will stand and shake universities, people that will shake cities, people that will shake religions in Jesus' name. I prophesied because I've seen it with my very eyes in the name of Jesus. It's a new day. The Holy Ghost is going to move like a whirlwind in this nation and from this nation to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. We have to let go of the old way we serve God, the passionless ways we serve our God with. We have to let go of our backslidden ways. We have to let go. God is counting on us. While you sit and suck your thumb and feel sorry about yourself, God says, I need you. You're a mighty man of valor. Get up, get over, get on. I need you. I need you to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I need you to stop visiting yesterday. I need you to stop playing games as a businessman. I need you in my kingdom. I need you with a new kingdom mindset. I need you as a new person. Yeah. Amos 3, I do nothing unless I reveal it to my servants, the prophet. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we have to let go of the old thing, and we have to believe for the new thing. Because without belief, nothing is activated in our lives. We have to believe what God says. Believe the promises of God in your personal life. Believe the prophetic promise that God gives us as a church, and take responsibility. Because the promise is what moves you forward. Living with a cynical, skeptical attitude will not move you into the future that God has for you. You have to make up your mind, like the Apostle Paul, to let go of yesterday and live with a positive, expectant attitude. Your attitude every day of your life is your choice. You choose your attitude. And my dear friend, your attitude will determine the altitude that you will fly in 2016. I raise children and I raise them to have a great attitude. When they climbed out of bed with their long little faces, I would say to them, climb back in bed and climb out with a better attitude. And if they stood there with a little, I'm not feeling good, I taught them, I said, I'm counting to three. By the time I say three, you will have a smile on your face. And I will go, one, two, three. Three of their little faces will smile, because emotion follows motion. I taught them, you choose your attitude. Because there are too many people today that just have bad attitudes. I'm not feeling good. Why? I don't know. Well, change your attitude. Have an optimistic attitude. Have an optimistic outlook in life. Be a possibility thinker. You say, how, Pastor? By renewing your mind according to the Word of God. Going to work. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God for your life. So choose to be an optimist rather than a pessimist. Choose to see the silver lining rather than the dark cloud. Choose to see the promise rather than the problem. Choose to have an attitude of positive belief. Your attitude is like a magnet. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Some people visit you, family, over this time, and when they walk into your home, it's like the whole atmosphere goes, Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Other people walk into your house, and the whole atmosphere goes, woo, party! We all like the people that lift us up. I mean, you want to marry a wife that is upbeat, not a wife that you have to. And sometimes as a leader, I feel like that. I've told the staff, I'm not here every Tuesday, and the staff may need to come and. And then you're all motivated, and when I leave, you all go. Next Tuesday, no, you haven't learned to cultivate a positive attitude. Because your attitude is like a magnet. It draws things and it repels things. Any magnet draws, attracts, and repels. So a great attitude attracts great things. A good attitude attracts good things. A negative attitude attracts negative things. Say, how can you say that? Well, Jesus said that, Matthew 12, 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. A good tree, a good man out of the good trees of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil trees of his heart brings forth evil things. So what is in your heart, your attitude, will determine the fruit that you bear. So if you have a neutral attitude, you will go through life neutral. Cynical attitude, you will see everything with cynicism. Optimistic attitude, you will see the glass half full. So that's your belief system, the paradigms that control your life. So for 2016, you have to let go of the old attitude and cultivate a new attitude by believing what God says about you. Say amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around. You've come here today, there in Pretoria, you're in Bloemfontein, in all our other churches. Your life is not right with God. Jesus promised to give you a new beginning. No matter what you've done with your life, how far you've run with God, how bad you've been. I believe God's speaking to many people in this place. They're in Pretoria, in Johannesburg. If you died today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses himself in the process? God gives you and offers you a new beginning today through his Son, Jesus Christ. No matter where you've been, God loves you, and there's nothing that can separate you from that love. Today you're standing in this place. You say, Pastor, I don't have peace with Jesus. If I die today, I don't think I'll go to heaven. I read my Bible, I go to church, but I have no relationship with God. Maybe at one time you served God, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from Him. And today there's a stirring in your life. You want to get back to Jesus. You don't want to close this year without Jesus. You want to surrender all to Him. You need a new beginning in your life today. Then I want to pray for you. People all over this place praying. You say, that's me. Reach your hands out to these people, please. All of you, pray this prayer right now. Everyone, pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart that you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. I give myself to you. Thank you for the forgiveness of all my sin. Thank you for a new beginning. You are my God forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.